This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on diversity in law. I am joined by the Chair of the Bar Council, Miss Amanda Pinto QC. As well as being the Chair of the Bar Council, Amanda is the fourth woman to have ever headed up the Bar Council in 126 years. As a barrister, she's an expert in international financial wrongdoing. She writes law books and she's also regularly asked to deliver speeches and training worldwide on different practice areas such as corporate, criminal liability and money laundering. Thank you very much for joining us, Amanda. Amanda, I am so pleased to have you here.
It is a real pleasure to be here, and I'm so excited to be back in conversation with you, Hattie.
Thank you, Amanda. And yes, we are recording remotely because we are obviously adhering to the rules of our government at this time of the crisis. So diversity in law, Amanda. What does diversity, let's start with talking about what does diversity mean to you?
So I believe that it's really important in the law that all sorts of areas of society are reflected in the professions and indeed the judiciary in order that people can have confidence in the law and the delivery of the law for them. I think it's extremely important for access to justice for members of the public to feel that they are reflected. So for me, diversity in the law means one, having a legal profession or legal professions that reflect the society that they serve. Two, that if you want to be a lawyer, you can get there, whatever your background, whatever your characteristics are. If you are keen enough and good enough, you will make it in the profession. And thirdly, that you will be able to get an excellent career regardless of your personal characteristics, as long as you can do the job.
Yes, no, I think that's really, you know, really sound, because like anything, I think hard work has to go into it. But with the law, if you're committed and you do a great job, you certainly do shine in this industry. And we were saying before, you know, we clicked record on this podcast that I've worked with many females in the law as barristers who manage and juggle home life and children and things like that, and people from different various backgrounds. And I think it's great that can happen. So that's great. I mean, what is diversity at the bar currently like? What does it look like, Amanda? You know, we talked about before, it's a very male-dominated industry and things like that. It costs a lot of money. I've had that conversation on What is a Barrister, What Do They Do? Podcasts cost lots of money to study and become a barrister. So what does the bar look like at the moment in terms of diversity?
Well, can I begin by saying it's a lot better than it used to be, but there's room for improvement, definitely.
And always room for improvement.
And if I may, can I talk about women and then talk about, or gender, and then can I talk about BAME and social mobility? Because
of course,
aspects of diversity, frankly, they're not the only ones. There's also LGBTQ plus, there's all sorts of other ones, but I wanted, and disability, which is really important too.
Yes.
But if I could just deal perhaps first of all with women, you mentioned that I was the fourth woman chair in 8 years, and
we've said that before in your first podcast, and I have to say, just saying that just seems so surreal. It just does.
So, sorry, I even said it wrong. Third woman chair in 8 years.
In 100 years, although, yes.
But 26 of those, we weren't able to be lawyers, so maybe that's a bit yes. of a fraudulent number. In any case, it does demonstrate, I think, a movement forward. But we have 52% of women coming into the profession, or rather 52% of entrants are women coming in, and yet only under 16% are QCs. So wow. We are losing a lot of really good women along the way. And frankly, that is doing a disservice to the public. It's absolutely losing talent for the profession. And it's also having an impact on the pool of talent available from which to choose the judiciary, and in particular, the senior judiciary. So I think that is where we are on women. And we've got initiatives, which I hope we'll talk about, to try and change those things. And I'm obviously part of a journey of people who've already started to put measures in place to try and help that. But honestly, we cannot afford to take our foot off the pedal, even in a crisis. So that's the sort of statistics on women. And it's worth saying, actually, at the very top, if you look at it, there's 32% of all court judges are women.
That's actually quite a high number. I think that's a decent number compared to the 16% that end up being QCs on the 52% entry level.
But then what you do see is that if you get to the very top, there are two women Supreme Court judges now, because of course Baroness Hale left, she retired, and when Lady Arden and Lady Black retire, which is in the not too distant future, within a year or so, the question is, will there be any women on the Supreme Court, or will we have really regressed? And as if I may just say, wow. In relation to the Supreme Court, there are no BAME Supreme Court judges at all. And they make up 7% of court judges, as against 15.5% of the population. So you can see that actually there are really serious issues. In fact, just to deal with the statistics for ethnic minority backgrounds in at the bar, 13% are BAME coming in to the profession, but only just under 8% make it to QC. So, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done. And you mentioned also social mobility. It's such an important part of diversity. If you cannot see yourself being properly represented in the professions, it seems to me that justice isn't working as best it could for all members of the public right across the spectrum. That's why it's important. It's yes, not important yes. as a sort of target to meet of itself. It's because it matters to whether or not you think justice is accessible to you. And it matters even more, in my view, in relation to the judiciary. If the judiciary doesn't reflect the society it's serving, then it feels out of touch. However good the people are and however much they're trying, if you just cannot see yourself at all reflected in those who are judging you, that seems to me to be a real problem for justice. And if I may say so, that is the beauty of the jury system, is that if you've got a jury of 12 people judging you in a serious criminal case, they will reflect the society of which you are a part. And that's incredibly important and gives confidence in the system and credibility to the system.
Yes, yes. I mean, let's talk about what the Bar Council is doing to address diversity at the bar. I know you've just touched on that earlier, but I mean, I just want to say you are testament to what the Bar Council are doing to address diversity in a way, because to be the fourth women in anything, let alone in 100 years or 126 when we took the extra 26 years on board, is a huge achievement, and you know, it absolutely goes into the history books. So I know you're a big champion of diversity. So what are the Bar Council are doing? What are they currently working on? Where are they going with this?
Well, for quite a long time, we've had a number of programs which are designed to help people, mentor them, outreach to people who wouldn't necessarily see themselves either coming to the bar at all, or once they're there, not seeing their career progress. And so mentoring can be really helpful. Role models can be really helpful. But also we've got, and one of the best ones, actually, I must say, is the hashtag I Am The Bar. Is an absolutely great awareness campaign where individual barristers are, as it were, ambassadors for people from non-traditional backgrounds. And I really encourage everybody to look that up on.
Yes, on the we will promote that across our social medias. Hashtag I Am The Bar. I love that.
Yeah, it's really great. And every single one of those people is just, first of all, a fantastic example of the diversity of the bar. But secondly, they're just amazing people. It's just fascinating to see the practices that they have, the backgrounds that they have, and the commitment they have to their profession is just wonderful. So that's actually very inspiring. And then just looking at it from the other side of the coin, where things aren't going well, we've got confidential equality and diversity helplines and an online tool called Talk to Spot, by which you can report inappropriate behaviour either towards you yourself or that you witness somebody else.
I was just going to say, potentially witnessing this sort of stuff as well.
Important. And it's all anonymized, it's all confidential. And what it does is it allows somebody to make a report or make a note of a report that they may or may not decide to take further. So
that's interesting.
It's a contemporaneous note, if you like, of something that's happened. And of course, what often happens is when there's something that's inappropriate, it's not so bad that you feel you can't go on and it's outrageous. It just drips away and undermines the people who are on the receiving end.
Yes,
and ultimately, yes. What it does, I think, is to weigh in the balance of whether or not it's worth continuing to have a career at the bar. As you know, Hattie, it's a difficult career. It's a fantastic career. It's incredibly rewarding, but it's also difficult. And when you are considering whether or not it's worth it, when you're balancing up, for example, as a woman, whether to come back after you've had a baby,
yes,
all of these things will weigh in the balance. So what we're trying to do is to ensure that people have a way of improving their prospects of staying, frankly. And
yes,
then just one other thing that we've had going for a short while, which I think is another really important initiative. We talked about trying to make the judiciary more diverse. And so there's what's called PAGE, a pre-application judicial education program. And that is designed to help people. It's like workshops that will help people understand the skills involved in becoming a judge, particularly for underrepresented groups in the judiciary, people who are thinking of applying or thinking, this isn't for me, I don't see anybody like me on the bench. And it just gives them the skills and the opportunity to work out how best to present themselves when going for judicial appointments.
That sounds really great. I mean, really, you know, you don't get many professions that offer that kind of a service as an add-on to try and say to people, look, have a peek through. Come and have a chat. Come and have a feel around and what this is about. You know, that's really, really good.
Because I think a lot of career development is bound up, obviously, with confidence. And if you don't have the confidence to put yourself even in the position of applying, because you think, well, this obviously isn't me.
It's way beyond me, or I don't know. But this is the thing. I mean, this is the thing. Still to this date, our most listened to podcast is What is a Barrister? I think that there are, you know, there's so many people that would actually love to know more about this profession, love to be able to understand it more and believe in themselves more and where they come from more, to say, look, it's not about your culture or your background. It's not about whether you're male or female. You can do this, and just look into it and understand it and let it be a little bit more open, so people have got the opportunities to come and look at it and understand it. And this is what, you know, these things that you're mentioning are huge. I think they're really great tools for people. And what I'm going to suggest, actually, Amanda, is that we do a small article and put it up on our website that gives this information, so people that want to go and look at perhaps hashtag I am the bar, or the confidential helplines, or the pre-application page, people can find that there. So I'll speak
really
to
good idea.
Your colleagues and get something like that up.
That would be super. And Hattie, what I was going to suggest is have another podcast with one of these fantastic ambassadors, one of these hashtag
I am the bar. I would love to. You know, that would be great.
I'm because volunteering them. They can't
yes.
say
yes. Yes. Amanda Pinto, QC, has just said you're doing a podcast. Right, who's up for it? No, absolutely. That would be fantastic, because then we can get a great insight from somebody who, you know, champions the diversity and is part of it as part of this hashtag I am the bar. I think that's brilliant. Amanda, we've got time. Yes.
Can I add one more thing?
Because yes, of course.
This is part of a real drive in my year, which has been slightly skewed, shall we say, by COVID-19. But
yes. Which is my next question.
One of the new initiatives that we are carrying on with, we've had to rein back a lot of work, but this one is such an important one that we feel we just must keep going with, and is a sort of future leaders of the bar program. And it's aimed at talented practitioners who don't see themselves in the role of future leaders, because, you know, we've got the people coming in at the bottom and we're not seeing their careers progress as they should. We're not seeing them see themselves as heads of chambers, chairs of their specialist bar association, chairs of committees of the bar council. And so what we want to do is to forge networks between people from right across the bar, all sorts of different people from different backgrounds, different types of practice, to forge those links and make those relationships which are going to last a professional lifetime. And so the programme is aimed at having 36 people a year, and year on year there will be more and more alumni of the programme, all feeding in, and the ripple effect of that throughout the bar will just change, we hope, the expectation and ambitions of people who wouldn't necessarily see themselves.
What a great initiative. I mean, goodness. I mean, this is what I mean. This is why I love this podcast. And I would say that, and I would be biased, but really, I mean, where would you hear this information and get this information if you're not familiar with, you know, the Bar Council and the website and these things? Because I've certainly never heard of these initiatives, and I'm so pleased to have been, you know, to be speaking about them today, and definitely doing the newsletter to give this information. Because I wouldn't, honestly sitting here, I would not even expect that the Bar Council would be taking such steps and such offering such great initiatives and programs as this. So it's so refreshing to have this conversation. I think our listeners would agree, because you just think the Bar Council is this big scary place and it's really important and it's all very legal, but actually so much is being offered by way of this is who we are, this is what we do, this is what we offer, and diversity in terms of even the 4 or 5 points that we're talking about today, you can clearly see that the bar is on it. The Bar Council is on it. You're on it, Amanda, completely.
Well, we're trying our best, and actually we're working with lots of other people to try and ensure that the work that we're doing, first of all, isn't just duplicating what's already there, and is, as you can see, it's pretty focused. So
yes, definitely focused.
One thing that is quite funny though, Hattie, is that the Bar Council is obviously not scary, but secondly, it's not big. It's really small. The number of staff is really small, and they all are incredibly focused and driven and committed. And what is one of the marvellous things about it is that loads and loads of barristers give their time for free to involve themselves with the Bar Council. So that in itself makes the Bar Council much more adept at working out what matters to barristers, because so much of the work is actually done by barristers in their spare time.
Yes.
To try and improve things for the profession and actually generally for justice. So it seems to me that all these preconceptions and misconceptions must be corrected, and please be our answer on that front.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there will definitely have to be a part two to this podcast, because like you say, we can bring someone in from the hashtag I am the bar, or, you know, maybe whatever, whether it's yourself, whoever would like to come on and talk more about this, I would be absolutely delighted for our platform to do that. And I just want to try and cover one more question if we can today, yeah. Amanda, and that's, how do you think diversity at the bar will be affected by the current COVID-19 crisis? I don't think we can go without mentioning that, because of where we are and this time of our lives.
So I believe that COVID-19 has had an impact on diversity, in that we know from our surveys it has impacted BAME and people from non-traditional backgrounds more than it has others. That's the first thing to say, that it has had a disproportionate effect on people from non-traditional backgrounds.
Yeah, and could you just explain that just a little bit, to how do we think that that's happened? What do you think has been the main sort of point on that?
Well, first of all, they're much more likely to have greater financial pressures, is what our surveys have shown, than other people. And one of the frustrations, Hattie, is how people see barristers as a profession. And, you know, we hear lots about fat cat lawyers, and we hear lots about Oxbridge and mummy and daddy looking after you and bailing you out. That's just not what the bar is.
I tell you, my experience of working with the bar for many years is that it's a place where people work incredibly hard and produce incredibly good work. I don't think I know of a profession, honestly, and I'm talking about if you look at the insurance profession, the accountancy, financial profession, that work as hard as the bar. When you go into the inns and you see at 8-9 o'clock at night, all the little lights are still on, because people are head down working very hard on briefs they may have only just got that week or that day. I tell you, for me, the bar and people working at the bar are one of the hardest working professions that I have actually experienced in not so many years, but enough years.
But what we've also found is, and you make a very good point actually about the facilities to work. So first of all, there's a problem because if you don't have a lot of space and you're working from home, as you must with COVID-19, far harder to do the work if you're sharing a small space with your family and there's nowhere you can put yourself in another room and be quiet, and you haven't got help with the childcare and your homeschooling. So this is having a more of an effect on women typically as the principal carer than men. Of course there are exceptions, but that's been what we're being told. And secondly, we found that people from non-traditional backgrounds and BAME tend to be those who are working in legal aid to a greater proportion than they are across the bar generally. So again, that has been an area of practice that's been particularly badly hit. And in particular, criminal work has been very bad.
Yes, because of the jury trials. Yeah. We did a COVID-19 and the criminal courts during the crisis very early on, actually, in April. And yes, that is, you know, a thing, an area that's probably been impacted the most.
Yes, criminal barristers' work. Absolutely. But the other thing about it, as you may know, is that the mechanisms for payment are trials, typically, in criminal cases in particular.
Yes, indeed.
And so if you're never getting to the trial, you never get the trigger for payment. So people are really, really suffering. And I mean, a shocking statistic is that 84% of BAME barristers said they cannot survive a year without financial aid. So that's
wow.
the whole of the bar.
Wow, goodness, 84%. Now that's a high percentage. We've talked about 16%, 13%, 2%, 52%, but that is a very high percentage. I mean, this is the thing. What, and which category do barristers fall in? Because they're self-employed. And we you know, that the government has assisted limited companies and insisted employees and things like that. But I'm not sure, actually, under the COVID rules, how a barrister could potentially get financial assistance from the government at this time. I'm really not.
Well, some barristers will fall within the self-employed scheme that the government has set up, but many, many barristers don't. And actually, the most iniquitous situation is those for the very young barristers who have only just started, who've got all that debt from getting to where they've got the,
yes,
and they don't have the right tax return. And in order to prevent fraud, the government said, well, you've got to have a 2018-19 tax return. But the very junior barristers don't have that. They don't have 3 years of accounts to put forward.
Yes,
that's right. So we're working to persuade the government that this is absolutely outrageous, frankly. And it also affects women and other people who are coming back from a break, perhaps a parental leave break or a sickness break from practice. And who can't provide the right evidence. And we're trying as the Bar Council to take on that role so that they can get some help. Because as you say, otherwise people are just literally falling between the stools. The expenses are still.
Exactly.
But they can't do the work, not just because they can't go to chambers, but because many, many courts aren't operating. I think
to their fullest capacities,
40% of courts across all jurisdictions are taking cases as they were. And we know that remote hearings, which can be a positive.
Yes, I've done some in my law firm, actually. And they've been actually really well organised and very efficient, because I haven't had to travel into the courts and then back to the office.
What the judiciary is saying and people are experiencing is that they are tiring. They're more tiring than face-to-face hearings.
They are more difficult because you're not able to engage with the judge face-to-face.
Yeah, the body language is lost, isn't it?
Yes.
Video hearing a bit. And so ultimately what we're finding is that the volume of work just isn't there. And that's what keeps the bar going, is the volume of work and the turnover of cases. And of course, if you're a very junior barrister and there isn't enough for the more senior ones are going to take the work that you would have traditionally had. So it's a precarious moment for the profession, to be honest, and it's particularly precarious to keep this commitment to diversity going, which we're very keen to do.
Absolutely. I mean, look, Get Legally Speaking is all about promoting the bar and barristers, and we will continue to do that. We're putting out some really interesting stuff for our consumer listeners to listen to. We're delivering legal conversation in all sorts of shapes and forms, in all sorts of cuddly, friendly, user-friendly manners. So, and we will continue to do that. And I'm sure, you know, life will return back to some kind of normal, even though it does feel like it will be months ahead. But thank you ever so much, Amanda, for your time again. I am so grateful to you because I know you're very busy, and you're very busy doing all the things. Just the things you listed today are some of the things. So thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Hattie.
And what I will say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.